The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I lived a long time on the streets and working on the drilling rigs. I was selling very, very heavily. Got mixed up with the Mexican mafia.
From Discovery Channel's The Experience, Weston and Jody Clark share their story and how they learned to trust God through all adversities.
That was the grace of God, with the plan, with the purpose of knowing where I was going to end up and what we were going to do.
I'm always happy to come into the home with you or wherever you're watching. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to life today. But I got to be honest with you. My heart's a, I don't know how to explain it. It's a little heavy. I've told some of the audience here, you know, when you're in your 70s, you've been married over 50 years, you start saying goodbye to a lot of people you love. We know where they are. We got a daughter in heaven. But you just, you kind of feel real, let's say, compassion for people who have got an empty spot. And this time of the year, around 9/11, I don't forget. I remember when I walked into the family room, Betty was arguing, and she said somebody flew into the plane, hit one of the buildings in New York. And I sit down, and I'm sitting there to see the next plane hit. I'm sitting there when the buildings come down. I'm watching the first responders run in while people run out. When the buildings collapsed, I watched them run back in. They ran in to see if they could find some still alive and get them out. I want to thank all of you, every law enforcement officer, every armed service member and family member. I just thank them. Excuse my tears. But I love you. I love your love, and I love your courage, and I just want you to be honored and respected and protected, too. God, I pray for every armed service member and their family. I pray for every first responder, our police and law enforcement, sheriffs, everybody, God, and trying to protect people. I want you just to protect them, bless them. Yes. Let them know we love them and appreciate them. In Jesus' name, I thank you. We got guests today that know what it is to love people, Weston and Jody Clark. And I don't know how to introduce you. Good gracious, you look like a cowboy sitting over here. Got a real pretty little bride here, a little wife you'll obviously love. Until y'all look like y'all really like it. You lean over. You can't
get that lean in there.
You
brother.
Can't hear good enough. You know. I just, I want you to tell us what about your journey. But we're really glad to have you here.
You know, well, it's an honor to be in your living room here, sharing our God journey. And if I may, I've kind of to tell the beginning from the end.
I wish you would. Yeah.
We have a show called The Experience on Discovery Channel where we surprise America's heroes with different country stars, celebrities, rock stars. We just got an introduction last week. But it is reaching culture. Just like you're talking about the first responders, they rush in with no judgment. They don't care what religion that person is, what color, ethnic group. They're rushing in with love. And that's what we do, and that's what we want to be able to do, is to rush in with love, with no judgment, and to be able to influence culture. So that's what we're doing, is surprising America's heroes and giving them that honor. And I saw a police officer sitting out in the crowd, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for putting it on the line every day. Thank you. That's a big thing to us. So I think the flavor that we had walking through life gave us the ability to be able to love and the compassion that we do now. You know, when I was a little boy, my parents got divorced when I was 3 years old. And then that kind of escalated back and forth from bitter child custody battles. I was kidnapped as a child. I was kidnapped from one parent to the other, taking me away from my dad. coming home from summer vacation with my dad, he told me, run through the house, go down to your uncle's meat store, and I'll pick you back up. He was trying to get me to come live with him. They packed me in a box of meat because the police had surrounded the meat packing plant. They packed me in a box of meat and shipped me to my dad's restaurant to bypass the police.
Amazing journey.
So that was by age six, but when I was 8 years old, I had older sisters, and they were in the drug culture. So when I was 8 years old, my sisters were getting me stoned. I mean, in the third grade, fourth grade, my sisters were getting me stoned. When I was in the sixth grade, I was going to senior kegs, and by the time I was in the seventh grade, I was one of the largest drug dealers in school, because my sisters were bikers. My one sister was a hardcore biker, and so I was getting the drugs from her and taking it to school. And my eighth grade year, I ran for student council president, and before I even got up and made my speech, half the school stood up and applauded because I was selling to half the school. That was my first campaign that
Don't
I won.
Don't let a lot of politicians in on your strategy.
Well, in Colorado.
Beautiful state, yeah. Making very poor decisions.
Very poor decisions.
And it breaks my heart.
It is. But it is a gorgeous state because you wake up in the morning and you go, not another nice day. You know, it's a gorgeous area.
No, it is. And it seems like too many people have forgotten who created all of it.
Yeah, exactly. And that
he created it for the kids he loves. He loves us.
Amen to that.
All right, you're messed up right now. You tell us where you were right there when you were winning the election because you got everybody high.
I won the election, and my mother had went through another divorce, and she had got pregnant by a gentleman. So she's having a real tough time with it. But she always tape recorded her recordings, whether it was with the DA or the attorney. And one afternoon, I'd listened to her tape recording, and it was a conversation with her and the DA, and she had filed a state's petition to take me out of the house. They were going to come and get me and put me in a boys' home in Worland, Wyoming. When I found that out, I sold my Model 870 Wingmaster Remington to my wrestling coach for $100. Mm-hmm. And my girlfriend gave me a gold pocket watch. Significant of that gold pocket watch will follow. I had a buddy take me to the train station in Rawlins, Wyoming, and I got a ticket to Chico, California. But when I asked the lady, can I get a ticket to Chico? She says, honey, I can't get you to Chico, but I can get you to Sacramento, which is 60 miles south. That'll be $99.98. Mm. So I had 2 cents in my pocket and a gold pocket watch. And it's amazing what God did and how he protected me. But I was on the streets. I was on the streets, and I hadn't eaten in about 2 weeks. And I took that gold pocket watch, and I went into Denny's restaurant at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I told the waiter that I'd got a job, and after my first check, I'd come back and redeem that gold pocket watch. Obviously, I didn't have a job. And I can remember what I ordered. I ordered steak and eggs, extra hash browns, extra eggs.
You hadn't eaten in a while.
Ate that, and about two blocks down, it all came up because I hadn't eaten. You know? So I lived a long time on the streets and working on the drilling rigs. And then I was selling very, very heavily. Got mixed up with the Mexican mafia. I was selling to a gentleman that had got cut off from the Mexican mafia, and he was getting his cocaine through me. And then he had actually sold a machine gun to a, let's just say, outlaw biker group. I don't want to mention them. Okay, and he left town. Well, they had found out that I was his connection, and I gotta tell you, it's quite intimidating when you have 5 to 6 Harleys pull up at your door at 7 a.m. in the morning wanting money that you have no idea. And that's back in the payphone days, so they were having me call him. I would call a pager that he had, and so I was having to put coins in the payphone with 5 to 6 Harleys behind me. Mm. And so praise God, the Lord protected me there. And so I ended up in Artesia, New Mexico, and I ain't giving you the Reader's Digest, the quick version of this.
Yeah, we'll have to have it.
And so I was in a relationship with a woman that had got a divorce. Him and a gentleman came over and pulled a gun on me. And when the police showed up, they actually arrested him and put him in jail. And so he went to jail for about 6 months. But in that time, I had actually had a buddy of mine, and we were sitting on the couch, and we were rolling up a joint, and he looked at me and he says, "Would you like to go to church today?" And I go, "Yeah." I never even hesitated. I put it back underneath the couch, and we went to a little Baptist church, and I gave my life to the Lord that day. Came home after that, and I dumped the pot down the toilet. Okay. And then I started going to a four-square Pentecostal church, and they had asked for anybody that would like to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come forward, and I did, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but the problem was that I didn't have discipleship. I didn't have proper discipleship. I was working in the oil field. I kind of fell back into the old school way of things. But there was an elder in that church, that four square church, that him and his wife came over and they prophesied over me in my home. And then when that Thanksgiving night came, where I was in a bar in Artesia, New Mexico, this gentleman walked in the door. He had just got out of prison that day, the gentleman that went to jail for trying to pull a gun on me and kill me. He said a few choice words, and I'm 5'7", so I had to get there quick. And I took him to the dance floor, and it knocked him out, and he had actually died 3 times on the way to the hospital. And I heard it over the radio the next morning as we're coming back, and heard that he had died. I went and turned myself in, and when they went and took me for my arraignment, when they said, "All rise," when I stood up, the man that walked out from behind the bench was the first man that ever prophesied over me.
Oh, wow.
And he gave me a $600 restitution and barred me out of every bar in the state of New Mexico, and he let me go. That was the grace of God with the plan, with the purpose of knowing where I was going to end up and what we were going to do. And just in closing on that, I was married. I got married, and she had 3 children. We had 1 together, and we were helping, and we were born again. We were serving the Lord, and we were helping kids down in what we call Acacia Park in Colorado Springs. I was going to Pastor Dutch Sheets Church. Great friend of mine, Dutch and Cece, great people, and we were bringing street kids off the street and putting them up in hotels and motels, and she ran off with one of them on our anniversary night, ran off with one of those street kids, and 2 years later, God did the most amazing restoration that I can't say that I'm glad that it happened, but I am in a way because of the way that God's restoration is, that he gave me Jody and gave me the kids that we have now, and it's just been absolutely, absolutely amazing. So that's where our heart is and the compassion is, to love and to minister and to nurture, but to see people in the eyes that God sees them, in the intended purpose, not where they're at, not in their sin, but in the intended purpose, and to love them right there.
All right, how, Jody, do you connect in all this?
Well, the essence of who I am is small town roots. I grew up in the Baptist church. I played ball and went to church. That's what we did. And I found myself at 18 years old, pregnant and scared. We got married. We had another beautiful son, and actually 2 more, but it was a very, very volatile and rocky relationship. We were married 8 years, and the day I walked out, he got mad at me in an argument and pulled a gun on me. And I packed up my 3 boys with 3 days worth of clothing, and I never, ever came back. And I moved up to Colorado Springs with my brother, him and his wife opened up my home, or their home, to my boys and I. And and that is where God started our journey. And that's a short Reader's Digest version of of mine.
But, no, we did. I was at the mall with my little girl, and I saw her going into a hair salon, and you know, just so happened to be my little girl needed conditioner, you know.
Of course.
So I went in there and I said something about the boys. They were taking stuff off the shelves, but then I walked out and I sat on the bench, and my little girl goes, "Daddy, why don't you go give her a card like you made me give the girls at the grocery store?" So I went back in, and that's how we met.
How long have y'all been together?
15 years.
And how many children?
We have seven. So I had three boys when we married. He had a daughter. Mm-hmm. We had four. We were a blended family. That in itself is a struggle. And then God decided to throw a wrench in our plans and gave us three more absolutely precious children.
2 years apart.
2 years apart, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
All right, so on your reality show, are you all able to share openly about the things of God freely?
We're moving into that in this season two, because when we surprise these heroes, it impacts them, it changes them. And then when you get into some of these experiences and where we're at, and at dinner time, the power of God sets down, it's absolutely amazing. And the healing and restoration, because I think it really dawns on them that out of all these people they could have chose, they chose me. And that's what we like to express to them, that says, God chose you. This is a prophetic act. God chose you because he loves you, he cares for you, and it just ministers to them. So absolutely, and more, because it is on Discovery, we have to almost be a little bit of that discovery friendly, but now we're allowing that faith to move into that realm and reach by the Father's love.
And you feel like you're going to be able to see a real manifestation of God's love poured out on people through everything you're doing, even on the Discovery?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to...
Maybe a real Discovery program.
Yeah.
Where they really discover what life really is.
Yeah. Right.
Because, you know, Discovery does present a lot of things because you're showing what the great Creator's done. And people who appreciate all that appreciate Discovery. I really do pray, and I pray with all my heart, that people will be able to see Jesus working in your lives through the biggest mess you could ever imagine. Yet you can look back, see the supernatural hand of God. I wish everybody watching right now would realize that you're not an afterthought to God. He is focused on you. You cannot imagine how much he wants to hold you close. How much he wants you to know what is on his heart. You're on his heart. He cares about you. He wants to heal broken hearts. He wants to touch you in every area of challenge in your life and help you walk through it. But then he wants you to do what you're discovering. He wants you to share that life and love with others. And are you finding great joy in doing that?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally.
It's the essence of joy, because it's what he came to do.
And as the
Father has sent him, even so, he said, send I you. Do you appreciate this couple and what they're trying to do? The journey God's brought them on. It's amazing. You have no idea how happy I am when I hear you get saved in a Baptist church, then go over to a four-square church, and you weren't picking sides. And here, the beautiful thing to me is, see, because God has so stretched me, so the my sail catches the wind of the Spirit. I'm not blowing on the sail trying to move my ship. I don't go, I just let the wind of the Spirit. And you know what? To watch my Baptist friends fall in love with the four-square leader, Jack Hayford, who just showed him so much of Jesus that it was so much more than Pentecost. Talk.
Yes.
It was the power of Pentecost, and watching this power flow through the church all over the world. That's one of the greatest lessons. Don't you appreciate the way you're watching some church leaders who were taught to not even like each other? They actually love each other. Wouldn't it be great if the whole family of God would love each other?
Amen,
wouldn't it
brother.
Be great
Amen.
If the church could love each other so much we could teach Congress how to have a civil conversation? Would that be a great miracle? How about we pray to such an end? Thank God for what you're doing. You're going to have our prayers. Our viewers will keep up with what you're doing. And I want to say to you right now, thank you from the bottom of our heart for the way you have actually put God's arms around people that felt like nobody ever noticed. And the only way people know oftentimes how much God notices is that they see God's love flowing through a human vessel like us. I want you to watch. I think this is going to touch you big time. You just watch the glimpses of God's love being poured out on little children. And we're going to ask you right now, I know it's way ahead of Christmas, and we're asking God to bless every first responder. And we want to show appreciation for all these great people that love us and give their lives to protect us. I'm going to tell you something. When you see a need that needs to be met, and you can give them the joy of Christmas way ahead of time, because that's what we have to do, I think you're going to have a heart that leaps started. Watch closely.
This season, Life Outreach wants to continue spreading joy and smiles around the world. We do this in very special ways. We provide shoes for children's feet and corrective surgery for those who suffer from a cleft palate or cleft lip condition. Not only is receiving shoes fun for the children, but it is a blessing for the mission team. Why? Because they know it helps ensure that the little ones will be protected from disease that can enter their bodies through bare feet.
This is what we love to do, is giving shoes to children. Some children need the shoes because they're worn out. Some children have never owned a pair of shoes. So this is a happy day for these little guys. It's a happy day for us.
As for cleft palate surgeries, did you ever think that a trip to a hospital would bring a smile to the face of a little child? Well, it can once they've had corrective surgery for cleft lip or a cleft palate. Our mission teams travel to remote locations in various countries to bring children like little Dwi to modern clinics like these. Here they receive the best of care, all because the friends of life, moved by compassion, make it possible. And once again, we're blessed knowing children and their families will experience great joy because of the corrective surgery. As this Christmas season approaches, we want to continue to bless children around the world by providing them with a new pair of shoes and corrective surgeries that give them a chance for healthy and fulfilling lives.
I can't even express the joy that I get of seeing what can happen to those little kids. I'll never forget Betty in Rwanda, and it was so dangerous the first times we went. You couldn't go. Mm-hmm. I couldn't risk taking you. I didn't know if I was coming back. But here's the thing. We were getting the little kids together. These are orphans. And we were taking pictures, and there would be a reflection in some mirrors, and sometimes there'd be a monitor. Had a little boy come up, wanted to be with us. He had a very bad cleft palate. And all of a sudden, he saw a picture of himself, and he screamed and pulled away. He didn't want to see it. He didn't like what he saw. And it touched me so deeply that I shared that with our viewers back in the United States and around the world. And people were so moved, and it was very difficult to get people out of those difficult situations and places like that, to take them where they get surgery. But the viewers made it possible to take him all the way to Johannesburg, South Africa, with a great surgeon, and gave that little boy a beautiful smile. Betty, that is indescribable. And you know what? That's what you do. And when you saw those children, you saw the missionary, and I've told you, that's our mission, our overseer, who lost his wife just not long ago. And he's never stopped going right back in to put his arms around those children. What a wonderful man Ralph is. God, thank you for him. And he's rejoicing. Would you give smiles and shoes for Christmas right now? We have to start way ahead of time, because we know where the need is, and we're going to deliver all over the world. But we need you to help. So we're asking you to give. If you can give the smiles, $1,000 will give two of those surgeries. It would cost a lot more if you paid the full price. The surgeons are doing this to help out. So could you do that? $36 will give 10 children a pair of shoes. $180 will give 50 children a pair of shoes. We only have a short time left. I'm praying everyone that can help will help. We've got some gifts to send you. The beautiful little Christmas shoes to decorate your tree. We love them, don't we? And we've got them all over the tree. I'm telling you what, I like that. And people love to see them. We give a testimony of why they're there on the tree. It causes people to have an interest in doing something for someone else. Would you right now go online, take your bank card, or would you dial the number and simply make the best gift you can? Please do it. Wouldn't it be great to give someone a smile for Christmas or to give children shoes? Please join us and do it. And thank you so much. Thank you for your gift.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you can help immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries. And you may request the beautiful Safe in the Shepherd's Arms bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Little Dewey here is only 4 months old, but he is one of our latest recipients of Christmas Smiles. He's getting his cleft lip surgery done. His sweet family, his mother and father and him, they have traveled over 250 miles just to get to this point. And we're here today because today is his big day. He is going to get his surgery done. Thank you so much for giving a Christmas smile to little Dewey today. I cannot explain fully in words the stories that I hear all around the world of the need for children, boys and girls, just like little Dewey, who need this surgery. So I'm gonna ask you to do this. Find the number on the screen right now, call that number. Or if you prefer, go online. Whichever gives you the greatest opportunity to give a generous gift to help little boys and girls just like Dewey. And you're given a gift that doesn't just last through the season, but it lasts a lifetime. Please give right now.
You know, Betty and I just say thank you for your love, and I hope you're getting the three shoes with a gift of $100 or more. I always try to help you think bigger if you can. If you can give smiles, please do. I want you to know that Jody and Weston are going to be back with us tomorrow, and you're going to get to see them bless a first responder right here, somebody in the military who literally, basically, risk everything to give us life, to protect our freedom. You're going to be blessed when you see this. Would you all thank Jody right now and Weston for being here? Thank God for what he's doing. God bless you. Thanks for watching.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Bless you.
Tomorrow, John Wayne Walding and Johnny Wilson, two American heroes honored for their service and sacrifice. Watch as one gets surprised with a special gift. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.